All right, so while this presentation starts to load, I have no relevant financial disclosures, and I have a very long title. But the overall gist of this is that it's all about public health practitioners, educators, and planners working together to revitalize neighborhoods. And since we're in D.C., I pulled a quote from Obama from 2008, which says that if poverty is a disease that infects an entire community in the form of unemployment, violence, failing schools, and broken homes, then we can't just treat those symptoms in isolation. We have to heal the entire community. And so basically the point that you'll hopefully get by the end of this, and that you've hopefully already gotten so far, is that housing and urban environment inequities exist, health inequities exist, education inequities exist. Many of these inequities exist at the community level. It's often the same people who bear the brunt of each of these inequities. And so in an attempt to overcome all of these inequities, we want to take advantage of the shared values and goals across urban planning, public health, and education to develop interventions that can tackle all three simultaneously, which I'm going to try to do in like 12 minutes so that we have enough time for questions. So we'll see how we guess. So in a nutshell, if you're going to take one thing away, you're going to see this slide about four times over the next 12 minutes. This is how, in a nutshell, public health practitioners, educators, and planners can work together. And hopefully you'll see a lot of these words that we've already been talking about over the course of the afternoon. And one thing to, as a caveat, is that not everyone in each of these fields has all of these values, has all of these goals, is doing all of these programs, but a critical mass exists and a lot of exciting innovation is happening here, and there's potential for overlap and impact. So I'm going to start off just by talking about some of the shared values, which you've probably heard all of these words in the last half hour. So in terms of thinking about place-based and participatory, really what this means is tailoring policies and programs to the local context, developing interventions. I have a whole list of how public health talks about this, how education talks about this, how planning talks about this. And it's really with the emphasis that we can be developing programs and policies that are based on community insights, so are based on books like we just heard about, as another plug, which you can get right after the session, and that are also based on these concepts of the school siting and all of the maps that Joe was talking about before. The participatory piece is also essential, and so it's really this idea that communities who are affected can help define the topics that they want to address, think about how they want to go about doing these, and really this key point, if anything, is that no single actor involved fully understands the issue, and so this requires partnerships. So this requires community members engaged, this requires outside folks engaged, this requires planners, this requires educators, this requires health professionals. No one's off the hook, you're just to take a back seat here. Similarly, investing in youth. This is another shared value across all of these fields. You can hear it called positive youth development, youth empowerment. It's this idea that youth voice matters, youth are assets that have a lot to bring. And you just heard about that a lot, so I hopefully don't need to expound upon that anymore, but it's this idea of working with youth can do a multi-generational push towards equity. And those are just some cute kids. Sorry, that was the picture. And then this final value is equity, which we hear about all the time. And there are lots of different ways in which this can get operationalized in terms of public health, education, and planning. One quote that I love is from Horace Mann, who was a big proponent of public education from the mid-1800s. And he talks about education as the balance wheel of social machinery. But really, we can think about all three of these fields as helping with that balance wheel of social machinery, and all fields have this shared history of working towards equity. And I'll offer entry points for working on equitable urban policy. And so again, school siting is one example in terms of thinking about how school siting can look very different in urban environments where there's toxic land or toxically polluted land that has to be cleaned up. It means a very different school siting story than if you're thinking about driving kids to school. It means a very different school siting story. And when you're thinking about how to get kids to school, even if they live close by and even if it's on clean land, but there's a lot of violence in between. And so all of these school siting issues all address equity in different contexts. And so these, again, are just all different ways to think about it. You can see that there's a lot of emphasis of social determinants of health, social context of education. It's all thinking about the broader community and how we can be creating more equitable environments. And now we see this figure again. I just wanted to like, drill this in. But right, so now we've talked about these values, so place-based, participatory, equitable, doing youth-focused work. And all of these share the goals of really revitalizing neighborhoods, which has become a buzzword, but can be kind of thought of as social capital and civic engagement and community resilience. So just to give a quick definition and to give you some citations, because sometimes that can be useful, social capital you've heard about a lot. Building networks and relationships between people is the short version. Civic empowerment, so supporting and preparing both participatory and justice-oriented citizens. This Westheimer and Kahn piece is a piece by educators that has a lot of really useful things in terms of how we can work with people to think about different ways that we can prepare them for civic engagement. And then community revitalization and resilience, which really boils down to being able to withstand stressful conditions and adapting accordingly. All of these come from a lot of different fields. This was the best amalgamation that I could put together, but these are clearly super simplified versions. But thinking about social capital a little bit more, everyone realizes that it's important. Organizations like EOIDC do an awesome job promoting it, and we need to be doing similarly awesome jobs all around in a bunch of different communities and really thinking about how we can be engaging all of these different folks in bridging social capital and bonding social capital. Another example is through community family school partnerships, and so trying to engage everyone that has a stake in kids' lives, getting back to the investing in youth, getting back to the place-based piece of things, engaging all of them in building social capital. And then getting to this goal, another goal of civic empowerment. There are folks in public health, in education, and in planning, all doing pretty much the same thing, which is place-based, student-centered curricula to engage youth in their communities, which are more buzzwords. But it's basically getting students out in their communities, learning about community issues, choosing community issues to work on. And so they can do that in the realm of environmental justice. They can do that in the realm of gang violence. They can do that in the realm of city zoning decisions. But again, it all gets back to emphasizing youth voice, collective action, and reflective practice, and tackling community problems. Community problems that are often related to equity and to youth issues and that kind of thing. So you can see how everything cycles back together. And then community resilience. There are plenty of examples. One example is thinking about post-Katrina New Orleans, which is something that gets talked about a lot. And so, but this is one example, right, of that there were planning folks, like the Brad Pitt houses. Sometimes if you say that, then everyone knows. But that he was working on green housing, while simultaneously there were environmental health testing for toxic compounds. And then simultaneously, there was education. The Louisiana Recovery School District has tried to create this lab environment to try out a lot of educational innovations. All of these were thinking about rebuilding infrastructure. Some of them were working with others, but a lot of this was happening just based on individuals being really gung-ho. And so this is another great example of how we can be working together. And one example of working together was a labor environment coalition that Beverly Wright had put together to rebuild one particular block, but that was only one block. And so showing that there's some work that has been done, but that there's always still more to do. And then, all right, we have our values, we have our goals. Of course, the big question is how the heck do we get there? And there are lots of different ways that we can get there. I'm just going to talk about a few really quickly. And so one clearly is through shared programs. And so there's the community health centers, community schools, joint use facilities. These are how health people talk about it, how education people talk about it, how planners talk about it. The thing is that this can all happen centered at the school. So a school can have a community health center nested right in it. and call it a school-based health center. It can be a joint-use facility, which means that it's open to the community, like in the evenings and the weekends, has activities for adults or people who aren't at that school. And that community schools can kind of become a hub of the community of all of the students who live there. And then, again, to bring it federal, since we are in D.C., other examples come from the Neighborhood Revitalization Initiative, which is an Obama administration initiative that's talking about community health centers, which have a corollary that already exists called community health centers, focused on health disparities, the Promise Neighborhoods, which are based on the Harlem Children's Zone, and then Choice Neighborhoods, which are based on the HOPE programs. And so each of these are housed in different departments, focusing on different disparities, but are starting to think about the same kind of overall goal. And now, of course, one of the challenges is to make sure that they all have the shared values that we had talked about in terms of the place-based, participatory, investing in youth, investing in equity. So those are some more examples to think about. And now hopefully this is also spurring you all to think about some examples that maybe in your communities or ways in which you've thought about these or potential partnerships. So I'm hoping to wrap things up so that we have more time for actual discussion. And so again, you're going to see the slide one more time, because if I hope you take anything away from it, it's going to be this. And also to acknowledge the Rosalind Lindheim Award, for which I received partial support to do this. So again, it's the shared values leading to the shared goals, and then with some of these programs, and hopefully with the discussion, you guys will be able to think of any more programs that we can add to this list, and even some more ways that we can be thinking about revitalized neighborhoods and additional shared values. This is meant to be illustrative more than anything else. Here's a long list of references, because I like citing things. So there we go. And I'm just going to transition. Do you want me to just transition right into the next one?
Yes. Yeah.